summertime, summertime, summertime. It's summertime.
101.3 WIBD AM 1470. And it is 7:30. We're at 61 degrees in West Bend. Beautiful morning out there. And it is indeed summertime. And Julie Hefter, who is the executive director of the Association of Aquatic Professionals, has joined us again. Thanks for coming back.
Thanks for having me.
It's good to see you again.
You too.
And boy, it's been a busy summer for activities in and around the water. And we had such good response to the stuff we talked about the first time. That's why I thought, well, let's see if we can get her back. So
thank you.
Thanks for coming in. I want to start out with a story that, because we talked about lifeguards when you were here the last time. I want to talk a little bit about a story that's in the news this morning, local story. 26-year-old young lady who is lifeguard trained, CPR trained, probably saved the life of her 59-year-old stepfather on Friday night. They were at a family gathering. He started exhibiting heart attack symptoms, and she started CPR. And they said that that probably kept him going until first responders got there with the defibrillator. And so, again, just the importance of knowing CPR and being trained.
Well, and I think that's the biggest thing, not just having to be a lifeguard. You know, she was lucky she was a lifeguard and had that type of training, but anyone can get trained in CPR and first aid. And that's one of the biggest things that we really promote, that every layperson, everybody that's able to do it, from young children up to elderly adults, learn CPR, first aid, get certified so that you can be aware of those symptoms. And if something happens, you can jump in and hopefully do whatever you can until additional advanced personnel gets there for safety.
Right, right. But she's definitely being, you know, being honored, recognized for her efforts, and great thing.
Absolutely.
So we've had some interesting water situations going on. We had, there was a big, earlier this week, Sunday and Monday, there was a big warning about waves on Lake Michigan.
Well, and I think that's a big thing. Last time we were here, we were talking a lot about pool-type situations that may occur. And I think we have to be aware of those open-body situations because of the waves. The one you're talking about, there was also one recently where a father of six was at the beach with his children. A big wave hit him, knocked him down. He broke his neck and his spine, and he ended up passing away. And it's just something that we have to be aware of, the strength of open bodies of water or currents that might occur, and just be real cognizant of that type of thing.
And, you know, standing on a pier that goes out, you know, 100 feet into or 150, however far, into Lake Michigan, when those waves come, they come with enough force that they can womp you right off there.
And we've had that happen, too. We had the Coast Guard was out giving some information regarding being on the breakwaters and being careful, and when there's high waves, to not do that. And just really be concerned about your own safety.
All right. And you want to talk a little bit about people we don't expect to necessarily be in the water.
Yeah, that I think that's a huge topic. You know, when we talk about drowning prevention, everybody always thinks we're talking about pools or beaches when we take our children there or we're there and what to be aware of. And we covered that the last time. But a big topic that I'm seeing online and coming up are from a lot of people that and parents that have lost children to drowning or fatal or non-fatal drowning situations. And a big part of that is that they weren't expecting that child to be in or near the water. So whenever you're around anywhere, you go visit a friend, a family member, they have a pool, you know, making sure they have a four-sided fence, not including the house as one of those barriers. And we talk about layers of protection, and that's just one. You know, door alarms. You know, if by any chance a door gets opened and you don't realize it, that alarm goes off. Alarms in the pool, you know, those type of things, to be aware of that. Now, natural bodies of water, we're not going to have that. If you have a creek in the area. So just making sure that you're, again, cognizant of what is around the area, that's one of the biggest things.
And be aware of how much toddlers can move. I mean, I've seen videos online of the steps to the pool with a little kind of gate over, but the toddler all of a sudden uses that as a ladder.
Absolutely. And nothing is foolproof. And that's why we call it layers of protection. So we have the gates. We have the alarms. We have different types of fencing. We have constant supervision. And when we say constant supervision, you can't take your eyes off from them for a moment. And we know how that goes. You're in the house, you turn around, you're folding laundry, all of a sudden they're gone. So the same thing happens outside. You never know, you know, how quickly it can happen. You can be outside putting on sunscreen, you turn around, they're gone. And that's how fast a drowning can occur. So it's not like people think. You're not going to hear the splashing, the screaming, the hollering. Usually drowning is very silent. We don't hear it. And it can happen so fast. So it's that constant supervision. It's no distractions. Put down the cell phones. Don't be talking to somebody else. Have a water watcher card, which is actually, we talked about this the last time, a physical card that you make up, that you hang around your neck. And when you're wearing it, you are in charge of watching either that child or that pool area. And if you have to do something else, you hand it to someone else. And it's just a reminder that you can physically look at saying, oh, I'm in charge. I can't do anything else.
Right, right. And again, you know, we should mention that it doesn't take a whole lot of water for a young child or for anyone to really to drown.
It can take an inch. So you have baby pools in your backyard. You know, you fill them up. There's only an inch or two of water in them, and you leave it in there. When you're not using it, flip it over. Empty it. Close your bathroom doors. Children can fall into toilets. They're top heavy and they can't get back up. Buckets of water in your house, bathtubs, whatever it may be. We just can't leave children alone with them. We can't leave them full of water. If your child's taking a bath, don't leave your child alone. It doesn't really matter what age they are. You know, our biggest age of drowning is ages about 1 through 4. And that's one of the biggest causes of death in children is ages 1 through 4 is water related. So we suggest swim lessons very early, starting at 6 months. American Academy of Pediatrics suggests that. Get them in the water. Teach them things. We've got a new big thing that's out, and I guess it's not new, but we're really hearing a lot. Individual self-rescue or ISR swim lessons. We see those a lot in more warmer climates, such as Arizona, where it's warm year-round and you have a lot more backyard pools.
Sure.
It's self-rescue. Teaching those babies at 6 months old, if they fall in the water, they can flip to their back, breathe, flip back over, kick, kick, kick. And we hope that that gives enough time that they can either get to a staircase or a ladder to grab onto, or by that point, perhaps, hopefully, someone will recognize they fell in the water.
Okay. All right. And I think that's that getting on your back and so on. That's kind of the same advice they give if you get caught in a rip current in water, right?
Absolutely. In a body of water. Not to fight it. Lay on your back and let it just take you. Float with it, because hopefully at some point it's going to stop and you can move to the side of the river or wherever you are. But hopefully on your back, you're not going to exert so much energy and you just float on the surface. To try and get yourself to the side or until help arrives.
Now, parts of Wisconsin have had more flooding issues once again. And again, that's, you know, a big, muddy, flooded area is a magnet if you're a kid, you know?
It is, and people don't realize that. We all love water. You know, growing up, think about the fact that you saw a puddle. What did you want to do? You wanted to jump in it and splash it. And we see that so often, and people don't realize that it's an attraction. Shiny things in the water are attraction. Toys floating in the water are attraction. So just being aware of those things, and if a child ever disappears where you don't know where they are, check the water first. That is the first place to check, no matter where you are, because a lot of times that's where they're found.
Right, right. They had I've been doing some news for our station in La Crosse, and they had some tubers that were out on the flooded river. And fortunately, they were able to be saved. Turns out the guy who rescued them first actually was a scanner head and heard the call on the scanner, and he was closer than the first responders. So he was already able to get one of them out by the time everybody else arrived. But again, There's a common sense factor there, too. Flooded rivers, not necessarily a place to go if you're not real water understanding.
Exactly. And I think we always talk, when we're talking about drowning prevention, we talk about children. But adults can drown also. You know, drowning is not something that just happens to young children. We see it in adults. And a lot of those times it is in those types of situations where they go in the water. They may not be a real strong swimmer, or we've got strong currents. You can be a strong swimmer and still drown. You know, there's been situations with very, very strong college swimmers, Olympic level swimmers that have drowned. And we just need to be real cognizant and not do things that could be dangerous, or when there's flooded water, don't go near it. You know, people take out their kayaks or their canoes and try and go over dams.
See it on the news, and yeah.
And they're stuck there. So then somebody has to rescue them, and then we put somebody else's life at risk. So we really want to think about that. Think before you do things.
And the other thing is, when you're out, make sure you know. Make sure you've got a PFD. Make sure you know what you're supposed to have and have it, right?
Absolutely. PFDs are personal flotation devices. We want them to be Coast Guard approved. So we want them to be buckled, properly fitted, strapped on so they can't come off. If we're talking about children, so they can't just unbuckle them easily and take them off. We don't want anything that blows up. So anything that blows up can deflate. So get rid of it. Don't use it. Noodles, those type of things. Anything that doesn't strap on, you cannot rely on. And we still have to have that direct supervision. But if we're in boats, wear those life jackets. You know, I know I hear situations a lot, and recently I'm working a fatal drowning case where a parent had them in a flotation device, and the child, oh, so-and-so, my friend doesn't have one, can I take it off? And they took it off, and unfortunately, moments later, that child drowned, and it was a fatal drowning. So we just want to make sure that we teach children and adults and everybody else just to be safe around water, what it can do. We can have fun, we can have a great time, but we really want to be aware that it can be dangerous, and teaching those children that you're wearing this flotation device, you have to have it on when you're in or near the water. You don't go near the water without it on. And that's the type of educational stuff we have to do.
And also, I think we need to just kind of give people who aren't in the water a little advice too about now what they've done down in Racine or Kenosha, I can't remember which, where they've had several drownings in Lake Michigan. They now have put in these life buoys that are on a post out on the pier, so that people who are on the pier can throw to somebody if they're in distress.
Well, we used to always say reach, throw, row, go. So if you can reach and help somebody, because you don't want to put yourself in danger. So you reach. If you can't reach them that way by your hand, then throw something out to them. If you've got a boat, if they're out too far, you take a boat out. And if that's the last and you have advanced training, that's when we go. But that's the very last step. And I think that's a big thing with the open waters. And we always talk about, you know, I was talking about constant supervision with children, too. Don't take them out on those type of piers if there's any type of waves, because they could slip and fall off. And getting people back out, because it's not just a shallow area where you can just gradually go down in the water and grab them. You have to go in the water to actually get them out. So being aware of that touch supervision we talk about, you know, holding hands, being right next to a child in the water. Touch their shoulder. If you can't touch them, you're too far away.
And that's kind of the buddy system idea, too.
It is. And whenever you go anywhere, the buddy system's great. And what it does is it keeps people keeping an eye on each other. So if we're in charge of each other and watching each other in the water, if all of a sudden I turn around and you're gone, I can say, oh my gosh, Rick's gone. I can't find him anywhere. So that's just another layer of protection, and that's we put as many layers of protection in place as possible.
And we used to do that at the summer camp I worked at. We used to do, you know, you had, if you were going swimming, you had to have a buddy. And that way, and we would do buddy checks, the lifeguards would, every so many minutes, just to, you know, hands up with your buddy, and let's make sure that everybody's there.
Again, every layer of protection that you can put into place, because not one thing isn't going to do it. We have to do everything we possibly can to make sure everybody's safe. And again, I always want to stress, we want people to love the water. I've been blessed. I've loved the water. I started swimming when I was 4 competitively, and I absolutely loved it. I've swam all my life. And if you're an adult, take swim lessons if you don't know how to swim. Because we see a lot of times that adults that don't know how to swim, their children might not learn how to swim. Mm. So take lessons together. There's great places. Get in touch with the Y. Get in touch with the local park and rec department. But really learn how to swim, because it's all about that safety in and around water.
Julie Hefter with the Association of Aquatic Professionals with us again this morning. Anything else you want to touch on while you're here?
No, thank you very much. If anybody ever has any questions, we have a free drowning prevention program. You can find it at www.aquaticpros.org under education and drowning prevention. It's all free. There's videos, there's PSAs, there's flyers, there's PowerPoint presentations for children, for parents. There's just so many options out there that you can Google drowning prevention and you can find so many things. But I can be found at Julene@aquaticpros.org. If anybody has any questions, I'd be more than willing to help them out.
And the time to look for that is before you take the vacation and head to the beach, right?
Absolutely.
All right. Thanks so much, Julie.
Thank you.
101.3 WIBD AM 1470.
Congressional leaders in both parties.